Hallelujah. And you know, like I said, some of you here, and I praise the Lord for that, because you're wanting to grow stronger in the Lord. Hallelujah. So we are in God's house to give Him the praise, glory, and honor, right? You know, I mean, we didn't let nothing stop us. I can remember the singles group that we had in Lafayette. It was called out, Singled Out for Christ. Sold out for Jesus. And you know, some people say that a lot of times, but what does that really mean? Sold out to Jesus. In other words, you belong to Jesus, right? As a matter of fact, we sing that song, we belong to Jesus. And you know, what's that mean? We belong to Jesus. Just like things I have in my house belongs to me. Now, if somebody would try to break in my house and take what belongs to me, they're going to end up not being happy. But if somebody goes into your house and takes what belongs to you, what happens? You're not going to be very happy. Because that belongs to you. Just like God looks at us, we belong to God. So we're not in our way of doing things. We're in God's way of doing things. That sounds kind of strange, but we belong to God. Now, we're married, but I still belong to Jesus. And she don't belong to me, because why? She's not property. You see what I'm saying? She belongs to God. I belong to God. Just like anybody else in here, you belong to God. Are you showing God the respect? Are you giving God all the praise, glory, and honor? The title would be Discipline in the Church. Discipline in the Church. You know, while it's true, we've talked about divine healing, right? And you know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't know why I'm not getting healed. Well, we talk about it, and you know, divine healing belongs to the Christian believer and is God's will for people to be healed. It's His will for us to be healed. And it's true that some persist that in disobedience to God. And that will cause a roadblock for your divine healing. You know, but God doesn't put the sickness on us. We've talked about that for weeks now. We should have that. If you've been here each and every time, I think it's been six times. And, you know, and we talked about it each time that we've talked about it, they said that we walk in divine health. And God doesn't put sickness on us. It's the devil. God permits it, right? So we have to understand that if we get into disobedience to God, we don't reverence Him, we don't show Him respect, what happens? Something comes upon us. We open the door wide open. And, you know, we cannot honestly preach divine healing without these scriptures that we've had in the past, because they also concern sickness, the scriptures that we hear. And we're going to talk about some scriptures today that still talks about your healing and why you're not getting healed. I mean, that's the first thing. Why am I not getting healed? I always, when I'm praying and something's going on in my body, I always ask the Lord, why am I not getting healed? I'm getting up here every Sunday, and you know, here shortly we'll be back on Thursday, and we will say, well, where, Lord, I've been praying, I've been standing in faith, where's my healing? It might be God will show you something. You say, oh no, that can't be me. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that. I didn't think that. But it can cause a roadblock to our healing. And you know, a lot of times we want to blame God. God ain't answering my prayers. I pray every day. What are you doing in the other times? You understand what I'm saying? That's good to be praying for God, praying to God about your situation. But how is our life lining up with the Word of God? And you know, we have to understand that our scriptures are telling us that's our gospel. So grab a hold to those things and get to where you take it just like the doctor tells you. The doctor tells you to take this once a day, or take this three times a day, or take it every 6 hours or whatever, and you do it, don't you? I mean, as much as medicine costs, you know, but you understand that we got gospels. You read those gospels three times a day or every 6 hours. I tell you what, I put my trust in those scriptures and I do that medicine. But we always pray, thank you, Lord. If this is what I'm supposed to take, I thank you, Lord. It's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do, nothing more, nothing less. You understand? It's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do. Hallelujah. But you know, we have to understand that actually, if we really use the New Testament authority. Now, the New Testament, a lot of people say, well, I don't like the Old Testament. I got too many family members. Well, I know a lot of people around here got 12 kids, but they got a bunch over there. Praise the Lord. But you understand that, you know, we need to stay with that New Testament authority, and we should turn this disobedience, or should I say, we should take the disobedient ones and turn them over to Satan. Now, what are you talking about? For the destruction of their flesh. Whew! Matter of fact, turn to 1 Corinthians 5:1. 1 Corinthians 5:1. And it says, I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something that even pagans don't do. I am told that a man in the church is living in sin with his stepmother. And Paul was talking about people in the church, right? He's talking about the people in the church, and not unbelievers outside of the church. These people are members of the Church of Corinth. This is some church-going people. You know, Paul is talking about these people in the church. Just like I am giving you the word today. And they've been born again, filled with the Spirit, and even had gifts of the Spirit operating in their lives. Whoo! And you know, and yet among them was a man who was living with his father's wife. It sounds, oh no, ain't no way. But it's true. The Bible says it, I believe it, and it's true. That doesn't mean that it's his mother. That his mother, it was his mother, no, it was eventually found out it was his stepmother, and he had taken her away from his father and was living with her. Now, this is talking about stuff that's going on in the church. In the church. Outside, there's no telling what's going on out there. You know, no telling. But in the church, there should be discipline, right? There should be reverence for the Lord, especially if you have been born again and you know Him to a point of a relationship with Him. And you know, I love it because the different groups that we have here in the church, they're forming a relationship with each other. And I love that part. That's what serving God is all about, a relationship with Him. And you know, when we have a relationship with our couples group, our singles group, the ladies group, the men's group, we have all this together and we're able to move forward, to be able to be friends with people in the church. Because a lot of times people just come to church and don't get involved in anything. They don't say, you know, tell them a name of a person and say, who is that? They come to our church. They are there every Sunday. But you understand it. Getting involved with things that go on in the church. Church is not just coming to this building. There's a lot more church going on outside of this building than it is here. Because we're here, like I say, right now on Sundays. And back in March. In March we're going to come back on Thursday. Be Sunday and Thursday. Back here again. But you see, there's a relationship that God wants us to have. And it will a relationship with one another, other Christians, will keep you out of a lot of trouble. It keeps you out of doing things that you shouldn't do. Because, and then also, you're alone out there. You know, remember Wild Kingdom and all those shows? It talks about all these lions looking for something to eat. If they're out, that little gazelle's out there by himself. He's lunch. He's gone. Why? He's by himself. There should never be a Christian church. People are by themselves. Because why? They are going to get eaten or being spoken to through the devil is going to try to use you. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you that, but that will happen. Because the devil is going to attack you every day. And he knows what buttons to push. He knows what things to do. As a matter of fact, I want you to look in 1 Corinthians 5 and go to 2. We'll start at verse 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it says, and you are puffed up. Puffed up. You're proud. Puffed up. And have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. In verse 3 it says, for I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present. He who has done this deed. Let's go to the next verse. Praise the Lord. And it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5 says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Too many times. People say, well, just leave them alone. You know, the ones that are just living in sin. Well, just leave them alone. God will take care of them. He'll take care of them in his own way. Well, the Bible, however, tells the church to turn them over to the devil. That sounds like it sounds cruel, don't it? But his word says the church is to turn the church people over to Satan. Now, I mean, we've been here 14 years. And I've seen a lot of things go on in 14 years. And a lot of times, you know, we've never had to go to people and say, well, we're turning you over to Satan. We don't tell them. No, we don't tell them we're turning you over to Satan. They wouldn't probably understand. I mean, if somebody come to me and told me, well, you're messing up in church, you're living with this, you're living doing this, and you're out there doing this, and you're partying hardy over here, and you're going here and doing that, we're just turning you over to Satan. Huh? I would have to change real quick. I'd have to start repenting and start living the life that God tells me I need to live. To change. I have to change. But it says right there, for the church to deliver to Satan. You know, and we wouldn't dare tell, sorry, we've got to deliver you to Satan. No. Our prayers will be different. Now, as far as being into the ministry, it wouldn't happen. You see what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I know through Rhema, you go through a lot of questions before you can get your ministry license. You go through a lot of questions. You go through a lot of stuff. And they ask a lot of things to make sure that you're ready to take, you know, because they just don't want you to say, well, yeah, I'm ready. And, you know, you're not. Because you're dealing with people's souls. You're dealing with people's what's going to happen for their eternal life. You see what I'm saying? Now, I can tell you, if I can remember one time before, I think I've said this before, I'd come here on a Sunday morning, I'd be misministering the word. It might be on fire. It may be just giving you the best thing. Man, I love that. That was the best I ever heard. And then right after that, I say, okay, that's the end of service. Now I go belly up at, you understand what I'm saying? Am I showing glory to God? No. I'm dishonoring God by doing that. Because I'm over here telling you about this. I'm telling you about this. I'm telling you about what God's word says. And I make you expect me to live according to that word, to preach you the word, right? Yeah. And I expect eventually God will change you to follow after his word. I mean, we all come from a root and we have to grow. And a lot of times we do wrong. But thank God we can go and ask God to forgive us. You know, and I can tell you, God does not destroy the flesh or make you sick, if you want to call it that way. God permits it. Why? Because you're not following after him. You're getting out of the boundaries. Remember I said, just like I could tell the people that come in with an umbrella, and I could tell the people that came in without an umbrella this morning. Why is that? Because the ones with the umbrella, they weren't wet. The ones that came in without an umbrella was wet. The covering that you have because of the word of God, you're being covered. You see what I'm saying? Now, the ones who are not covered by the word, they're still living their life out there like, well, this is the way I was brought up. This is the way I'm going to live. I ain't no way you can tell me nothing. Well, that's okay. We'll just turn you over to Satan. What the word says, right? The word tells us if they can't change, we have to turn them over to Satan. Satan, and what's it for? Remember we talked about that a little earlier? We talked about getting himself saved? Because he's not having the covering, or they, he, she, you know, whatever. They're not having the covering of the church. Now, some people that do come into the church and they're living in sin, guess what? You are borderline being turned over to Satan. You see what I'm saying? That Satan is right there. You're borderline. You're not fully sold out to Jesus. Because why? You're wanting to live that life. I'm not giving it up. I don't care what you tell me. Well, you don't have to. I'm not telling you to give up nothing. That's up to you and God. I can't get you to heaven. I can get you on the direction, on the right road to get to heaven. But it's up to you to get to heaven. And there's nothing I can do. And I can't stop you from doing this or doing that. It's up to you, not me. And it's like I said, if it happened to us, and I get there, I can't drag her to heaven with me, just like your friends. I can't drag my friends to heaven. They've got to understand that it's a personal relationship with Jesus, each and every one of us. We're separate to learn to get to heaven with all the word that you hear at this church to get to heaven. Because a lot of times we just think, well, I go to that church, I'm okay. Well, you're not going to ride the coattail of the church into heaven. It's a one-on-one thing with Jesus. Jesus wants that relationship with each and every one of us. But like the word says, the Bible tells us that the church is to turn them over to the devil. What's that mean? Well, we just pray that they change before that last time they close their eyes. You see what I'm saying? God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. But if you're being disobedient, not showing reverence to him, not giving him the praise, glory, and honor, that, you know, that's a thin layer to walk on. You know, I mean, I can remember when we used to live in the country, we had a pond, and it had ice on it. Oh, let's go out there and play on the ice. Now, this is South Louisiana. That ice ain't about like that. So you take it, you say, well, let's make sure it's okay. Oh, no, let's go. It's good. Come on. Oh, no. Uh-uh. Take a rock and it goes right through it. And you want me to step on that? Uh-uh. You see what I'm saying? When we confess, oh yeah, Jesus is Lord, but we still living our old life. We still doing the old things. We living with our stepmother. You understand what I'm saying? That we're doing these things against God. Now, most of us in here are parents. When your children do something against you, how do you feel? Now, can you imagine how God feels when we do that? Especially when he sent his son, Jesus, down here to die for us. Each and every one. I'm even talking about the people outside of here. The ones that don't even know Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for them. Just like us. But thank God that we grab a hold to Jesus and we're not going to let him go. But out there, only time they say Jesus' name when they're just about to hear a collision or run off the road or something like that, or something runs across, they'll call Jesus' name then. But I'm just saying that Jesus is telling us in his word that when they're not trying to change, to turn them over to Satan. Not the world people, because God's going to take care of them. But for the church, the responsibility of the church is to turn them over to Satan. And you know, God doesn't destroy the flesh. I say that over and over. God permits it. And he doesn't. And if he doesn't do it, God never has made anyone sick. He has never done that. And God never has made anyone sick, even the man that was living with his stepmother. You know, he wasn't going to be sick by God. God was not going to put sickness on him. But he had a certain amount of protection. There is a certain amount of protection because he was a member of the church. You see what I'm saying? A certain amount of protection. I don't know about you. Certain to me is, I don't know. I don't know if I want that little bit. I want whatever God says I can. I want all the protection according to his word. I want the protection of the Spirit of God to protect me as I go. And that's it, like every time before we leave to go somewhere, we pray that we'll get there safe. We get there safe, have a great time, and we'll have a safe trip back. But you understand what I'm saying? To go ahead and pray for protection over you and whoever else is in the vehicle to get to where you're going. And then, and I was saying right here, just because you're in a church, you have some protection. Ooh, I don't know, some. That's a four-letter word. It's kind of iffy. Some. I want everything that God has. Praise the Lord. You getting anything out of this today? All right. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 5:12. 1 Corinthians 5:12. Praise the Lord. And it says, "For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside?" I'm talking about the people outside of this church. "Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person." It's just something about that word, put away, the evil person. But you know, he says, remove the evil person from among us. How many times you've gone somewhere and you're in a family-friendly atmosphere, but they got that one person. It seems like every word that comes out of their mouth is cussing word or whatever it is, blasting God's name everywhere, just not showing him respect. Are they sitting over there, hanging over the table, can't even open their eyes because they've been over there drinking? You know, there's things out there. But it does. It gets real loud. Because why? The alcohol takes over. Not the Spirit of God, but the spirit of that alcohol takes over. And you know, we have to understand, let God judge those out there. That's what it says in his word, right? That it's God's responsibility. He said, "I will judge those on the outside." But it's the church's responsibility to judge the ones in the church. And he wants us to do that. We have to understand that the church, people out there are looking at the church in here. I've seen several times being outside and hearing what other people say about another church. "Well, I saw what they did the other day. I saw what that church, I know where they go to church. I don't know if I want to go to that church." Because they were partying just like everybody else. We're set apart. Doesn't God's word tell us that? We are set apart. We're set apart from all the things of the world that's going on out there. Sure, especially this time of the year, a lot of activities going on out there. But you understand what I'm saying? That it's so many distractions that try to pull people away from God. And the devil's sitting there, go for it. Let's go for it. Pull it apart. I can remember, most of you probably in here can remember it. There wasn't nothing open on a Sunday. Nothing to open on Sunday. So why do you think they had on the ground dinners at church? But now it's a race to get to the restaurant before they close. It's a race to get to wherever they're going because we want to beat that other denomination. We want to beat them there. We want to be first. We want to get the fresh stuff. You see what I'm saying? Nothing sold on Sunday. No food for sure. No, at the time they didn't have all that automated, computerized gas stations. You couldn't get gas. You better get it on Saturday. And you definitely couldn't buy alcohol. But now, you can do anything you want. But you understand what I'm saying here. That, you know, it says just to remove the evil person from among you. You know, because you hang out with them. You know, you're right. For instance, we could say like our Harley drivers in here, bike riders. They're going along. And all of a sudden, here comes another gang that comes up with them. And you see them, and you're going to say, well, they must belong to that gang. No, they just happened to be there. You know, just happened to be there riding down the road, you know, on their Harleys. And here comes another Harley group. But they're not associated with them. But that's what it says right here. We must remove the evil person from among you. And those outsiders are those people out in the world now. God judges them, but he isn't going to judge the man in the church. God is not going to judge you. It's up to the church. And you know, you can get in some kind of radical church and they can judge the daylight. I've been in some that they'll judge the daylights out of you. And you ain't done nothing. Right? This church ain't going to judge you. If you know you're living in sin, this church is going to do what the Word says. We're going to turn you over to Satan. Spiritually. By prayer. You understand what I'm saying? We're not going to tell you, here, come here, you messing up. This church don't do that. I mean, it's up to you and God. How is your relationship with him? Not, you get on my bad side, guess what? You out. No, you're here to hear the word. We have all met. Anybody here never messed up in their life? We'll pray for you if you raise your hand. Okay, praise the Lord. But you know, we've all messed up. And just because you mess up, you can't kick somebody in the behind. Can you? I mean, would you? Oh, praise the Lord. Got it. Amen on that one. Hallelujah. But you know, we have to understand that, you know, that we do mess up. But we also can go to God and ask him to forgive us. We can ask him to forgive us big time and just say, Lord, you know, I messed up and I ask you to forgive me for doing this or that or whatever it is. But the church is instructed to put away those who continue in sin. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, people come and they don't try to change. That's when you got to have a little meeting with them. But you understand that people come, they want to change, but they just don't know how. And that's where the church comes in as a church family to help them to change, if they'll let you help them. Praise the Lord. But you know, but the church, God's word tells us for the church to turn them over to Satan. What for? As it says in 1 Corinthians 5:5, the last part it says, for the destruction of the flesh. Now, who is that the Bible says destroys the flesh? We've talked about it, referring to sickness and disease. The Bible says it is Satan. That's the culprit right there. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your girlfriend, not your boyfriend or your friends or whatever. It is Satan that tries to get in. He weasels himself into everything that's God's good. Hallelujah. But we have to understand that what is the purpose of turning this over or this one person over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh? And Paul teaches us that the spirit may be saved. I don't know about you. It's like somebody getting thrown off a boat or falling off the boat. but you fall into the into a river or a lake or whatever, and there you throw them a lifeline. You know, you throw them a little ring and they'll grab a hold to it and they'll swim in. And that's what that's the people that God is talking about, that that their spirits may be saved. Throwing them a lifeline to get them back to where they belong to be. Don't criticize them. Don't tell them, no, you can't come to this church. No, that's not throwing them a lifeline. That's throwing them an anchor. We need to throw them a lifeline, grab a hold to the ring, and bring them back in so that their spirit can be saved. And that's what a church is for. That's what a church is to do, is to throw a lifeline. And you know plenty of people out there that need a lifeline. And you know it's plenty that need to help to bring into the kingdom of God, to get their life back in order like it should be. But that's like it, God's word, Paul says, that the spirit may be saved. And you know, when anyone who has known God finds himself in a predicament, he will turn to God and call on him. I mean, how many times that we do those things that we know we messed up, but we'll call upon God and we'll call upon him and we'll seek his face. But as you know, there are some that do those kind of things, and then you turn right back around and say, and as long as everything is going good, everything's good, hallelujah. Whenever he will think he is getting by with this, I've known a lot of people thought they're getting by, that God don't know it. You know, I'm in church. You know, God's looking down on us here at this church. God is doing this. But then I go do my own little thing, and, you know, I start my little sinful acts once I leave out of this building, and then, you know, and I just continue on that course. That's the ones that are not going to be redeemed, unless they can come back that their spirit may be saved. Hallelujah. So there's a thin line that we need to understand about what goes on in the spiritual realm and what God has commanded the church to do. Why do you think the churches are in array like they are, disarray as they are? I mean, I've talked to pastors all over, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, all over, Arkansas, Louisiana. Church is not like it was before. There's no respect for the Lord. There's no humbling before the Lord. There's no prayer and no relationship before the Lord. It's, I can go if I want. You know, so what? It's a Sunday. I've been working hard all week. I need to take a break. I need to go. And plus, they got this going on over here. I might go do that. But what is your heart telling you about God? Do you worship him? And you serve him? And that's what he wants. That's all he wants. And you know, people need to get back to that hunger for the Lord. You know, when my bellies get hungry for food, we go eat. Same thing with the church. We need to be hungry at all times for the Lord. You know, somebody said, well, yeah, I just got up. My hair ain't done. I don't care. You know, we got mirrors in there. Comb it, whatever you want to do. I ain't got no makeup. Well, that's okay, unless you want to got mirrors in there. Do your little makeup in there. You know, we have it set to where people want to use excuses. You ever notice anybody want to use excuses? Well, I can't make it today because what? You know, we do that with different. Somebody says, "Well, I can't get there because I don't have a ride." Where you live? I'll be glad to pick you up. Might be a little early, but I can pick you up. You see what I'm saying? We use this. People use excuses. Well, I just ain't got a way to get there. What's the problem? Where you live? You know, I mean, you think about the excuses that people use. I mean, probably you've heard millions of excuses people told you about different things. I'll be over there. And then they don't show up. And you call them, well, yeah. Well, I had something else come up. I got detoured. Something, you know, whatever. The world is full of excuses. And what are excuses? It's nails to build a house of faith. Think about it for a while. Hallelujah. But you know, but as long as everything is going good, everything, but that's it, that's in a dream. I don't know about you. Everything goes good, but there's also a lot of times when there's some roadblocks in there. But you know, we got to watch those that understand that as long as everything's going good, they think they're getting by with God. And they'll continue doing what they're doing. But that's where we have our life ring, our ring that we can throw with them and bring them back in and say, okay, it's okay. You may have messed up, but God forgives you. You ask God to forgive you. And it's, you know, teach the people out there for what the love of God. And the church should be showing the love of God. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today?